Let's see what happens when we dare to color outside the lines. You're listening to Color Mixology, the debut podcast from Sherwin-Williams.
Hello, and welcome to Color Mixology by Sherwin-Williams. I'm your host, Sue Wadden. If you missed the last episode, we had a fascinating discussion about the color and design styles of the past, how we preserve them, and what we can learn from history as we move into the future. Today, we're looking back in time at Fashion Week 2025. And for those of us obsessed with color, materiality, and design, this moment isn't just about the clothes. It's about the cultural shifts that ripple into the spaces we live in. Here with me today is Jacqueline Rumore from Nelly Rodi, one of the most sought-after trend consulting agencies in the world. Thank you so much for joining me, Jacqueline.
Hi, Sue. Nice to see you. Nice to be here. It's very exciting.
This is a fun topic. I know that so many people are going to be interested in what you do. It's in my world, everybody knows about interior design, but you know, fashion is like, you know, so the thing. So talk about your role at Nelly Rodi and what are your connections to the fashion world?
So I am, Nelly Rodi is, again, as you mentioned, a Paris-based creative agency, and I am the managing director of North America, and I just acquired the UK as well.
And congratulations. And
yes, it's very exciting. And I've been with the agency about 7 years, and my connection with the agency was that being a fashion designer for the last 35 years, I started in a time in the fashion industry where these types of agencies and services were basically everything for us. And so when I started with the agency, it was really based on my fashion background, which made the connection with this particular role. A year ago, I was promoted to managing director, so that's something new for me. But it's definitely was connected to my fashion industry experience. So again, the agency was founded in 1985 by a woman named Nelly Claire Rodi, and now her son runs the company. So we are celebrating 40 years of being in business, and I call it of getting it right.
I agree. It's wonderful.
And so, yeah, it's super exciting. And so we're one of the premier, as you mentioned, one of the premier global agencies. We do offer color and trend editions twice a year, both a fall winter edition, a spring summer edition. And then we do, which are really, really great right now, are called sector studies. And those studies are really what's trending in consumer behavior and how that relates to specific different business sectors. So whether it's a beauty study, whether it's a luxury study, whether it's food and beverage, even hospitality. So we're really branching into some of these great areas where there's definite consumer driving trends. And then you mentioned consulting. So that's the other thing that we're really, really well known for is consulting. And that is a big part of our business as well. And I would say, so for me, being a fashion designer, again, I mentioned that this was sort of our Bible at that time. You know, we traveled, we drew by hand, we didn't have the internet. And I know that that always sounds really weird to say that out loud, but it's really the truth. And so this type of service and this kind of intel was really important. Again, I mentioned that the agency was based on beauty, or we work with the different sectors, beauty, fashion, home. So fashion and home are very connected, as well as beauty. We're all working in tandem together, and we're all, you know, we're being influenced by each other, and it's constant.
Do you find that that has changed over time? Like when I've been doing this about 25 years, and when I first started, again, you know, pre-internet, which is hysterical to say, it was really fashion just led because it was so seasonal. It was always constantly moving really quickly. And now I do feel that the intersection is much more aligned. Would you find that true?
100%. I think that there is this symbiotic connection. I know that like maybe in a pre-COVID, let's say, time, maybe fashion was dictating what we're doing. But now I think it's the interior design that's really dictating what's happening in fashion, and or it's happening kind of all at the same time.
Together. Yes.
Yeah. And this experimentation of color and let's say maybe different textures and patterns are really important as well.
Let's talk about Fashion Week. I did not have the chance to go, nor have I been. It's on my list of things I would like to do. So talk about Fashion Week 2025. What was the energy like for this season?
You know, it's always exciting to talk about runway and Fashion Week, regardless of when it is. I think that there's just always such a great energy that comes from the unknown of what's going to come down the runway. And so it was so much fun to kind of jump in a little deeper than normal. And so thank you for letting me do that. But it seems like sort of the definite direction for color in the collection is really about this holding on to the past. There's a lot of interesting ideas of, I see it as some of these, like, let's say, heritage colors being more present and colors that maybe aren't, let's say, as common, let's say, for interior design, or let's say even on fashion, but like on the runways. And what does that mean? So, for example, some of the designers that stood out for me and also for our creative agency was Saint Laurent, for example. So his collection was really kind of embedded in the DNA of the brand, really sort of this more 80s state of mind. Again, bold, vibrant colors, bold shapes, really, really reminiscent of kind of the way you think of Saint Laurent from the 80s. But again, in a very fresh, modern approach. So, and then I saw, for example, Dior, which I thought was really amazing. Now, on a silhouette level, I felt like the colors were great, but I also felt like a silhouette was kind of touching more on the classic, the kind of new look, which I thought they did such an amazing job of this sculptured look with kind of a modern twist with lots of lace, so lots of texture there. And then I would say that like the collective colors that were really emerging through all of the different collections, whether it was Paris, London, New York, or Italy, would be browns. Browns were really sort of the predominant color. And I would say all forms of that. So you would have your cognacs, your butter yellows, your rich burgundies, and then touches of opulent fuchsias and reds, as I mentioned with like Saint Laurent. And then, of course, the materials I saw, the predominant materials were fur, which is interesting. Lots of leather, fringes. I'd say it's kind of like your basic rock star look. And then Schiaparelli, for example, was very embedded in this kind of Western wear with lots of trims and accessories. So there was a lot of excitement going on.
Oh, there was a lot. It was not. And is that pretty typical of the collections? Like everyone has a point of view, or do they all sort of harmonize together magically? Like I'm amazed at how that happens sometimes.
You know, I am too. And I would say that, you know, I think, you know, I do get asked a lot, like, how do you predict color? How do you predict the future? And I would say that I
you and me both, sister.
But it's really a matter of, it's an organic kind of symbiosis, as I said. I used that word before, but I think there's this like organic kind of connection to it. And I've been asked for more data driven, like, why is that color? And I go, you know, I wish I could give you that. But I think that it's really about this organic emotional response. And I think that that's the same thing with collections. A, the designer's job is to follow the DNA of the brand, you know, I mean, but they're also, their job is to also create something more modern, something more contemporary, something forward. It's a great job. And it's also maybe a daunting job, you know what I mean? Like to be able to have that connection or have that pressure. But, you know, as a creative person, I think that that's like the best part of it is like having that foundation of what the brand is known for and giving it new life.
I absolutely agree. And I think I've pared it down to pattern recognition, like at its basis level. I think designers that have been trained in color like us see immediate pattern shifts that you recognize when something's new or something to key in on. And I think that's how we do what we do. I don't know. It's so, like you said, so subjective at times, and it can be daunting and overwhelming. So it's great to collaborate and to talk to friends in the industry that are seeing the same things and having good conversations, and obviously like podcasts, right? This is a great way to talk about this sort of shared space. So I appreciate your insight very, very much. But you know, now that you're a managing director, your oversight includes interior. So when you're watching these runway shows, do you see and think about the built space? Does that like come into your mind as you're watching things unfold?
100%. I mean, we have, again, I mentioned like we have the trend books. And so in one of our trend books, that absolute connection happened. In fact, I think it's more of an interior design space that's dictating what the fashion space would look like or the fashion collection. And so we have a story in our fall winter 26-27 that's called Pomp. And Pomp is really about this kind of deep-rooted foundation in landmark colors that I mentioned again. But those landmark colors are really touching on this like expression and fascination of these bygone eras that we oftentimes romanticize. So this romanticized idea of colors is really important. So they sometimes also come with a deep cultural significance. In this case, this story that we have, Pomp, is really kind of, again, more lavish materials, the velvets, the browns, again, the cognacs, you know, the metals and all the other things that come with that. So that I felt like was an amazing, you know, felt more interior design than it was, let's say, fashion, although it is still very fashion driven too. It had a very 70s vibe to it. So,
and that's this nostalgia thing can take you back to the 40s. It can take you back to like even longer decades, you know, gone by, because they celebrated sort of that same revival in heritage colors as well. So it's going to be fun to see how interiors adapt that. We've had lots of discussions about the intersection of minimalism and maximalism, which we'll talk about in a second. And there's this tension between what is like sublimely neutral and sort of layered texture, and then this other thing that's bubbling up, which is this heritage look back at nostalgia, but reinterpreted, that I think that is really ornate, that's really jeweled and really emotional. So it's a tension point that I think is exciting to talk about. But is it, you know, would you see like interiors influencing the runway in other ways? Like, do textures and materiality affect interiors and fashion symbiotically? Do you see that as like, you know, like fur and leather? Like that's, you know, I haven't seen a lot of leather in interiors, but it could be.
Well, the leather portion of it, I mean, the like, let's say these kind of over the top fringes or fur, I mean, those 100% can be translated into interiors, whether it's obviously like a leather couch, I mean, but maybe like more of that, you know, connection there. I can 100% see all of these different materials translating themselves into interior design. I did see there's a lot of texture in terms of just what I saw, whether it's a wash in the denims that could easily be translated into like, let's say, a wall texture. You know, like it was with Louis Vuitton, the collection with Nicolas Ghesquière. He has this beautiful like denim that's like rust and kind of rustic and just kind of beat up in some ways. But that could be 100% a beautiful pillow. It could be also like a great wool, you know, again, texture there, treatment, exactly.
We have been sort of like seeing pockets of, I mean, forgive me for saying this, for like textured wall, like faux finishes, sanded and suede touches that we haven't seen in probably 20 years.
Exactly.
That are those Venetian plaster looks, like that old world. Is creeping its way back into interiors. And obviously it starts at the high end at, you know, beautiful, luxurious interiors, but it's really interesting to watch. And we're going to pay attention to that as people are going to want products to recreate that look. So I think that's pretty great. But did you see any minimalism in the collections, anything that was really restrained? Because we've talked a lot in our trend work about the idea of essentialism and utility as like a key driver for the next couple seasons. Did you see that show up at all?
I would say that with the Saint Laurent show, I think that there was minimalism there in its form because of just the boldness of the shapes and the colors. There wasn't as much, let's say, texture there, like I saw in other collections, but it was really this very sophisticated, bold shapes. We've talked about that in our Fall Winter 25-26 edition. We talked about that as well. And so that's what I would say I saw more of the simplistic side of it. I think there was just a lot more texture, a lot more layering, and maybe it lends itself also because it's the time of year, the fall winter season. You know, you tend to get more burnout velvets, and I saw some of the predominant things were really about this amazing use of color. That's really what I saw, along with the fabrics and the different layers of texture. So there were these pops of color in there. Or let's say in the burnout velvet, it was like maybe a great marriage of different colors together against maybe jewel tones, but then with some kind of accent pops, you know, of color.
Ooh, that's...
I'd say red was kind of the more predominant color there in terms of accent.
As an accent color. So you had mentioned browns being like the color of the season, and we are tracking that as well. We had a brown in our color capsule of the year. We know Pantone had a, you know, I think Mocha Mousse is their color of the year. Do you see that continuing, this sort of rich ripening of browns?
Very much. In fact, our creative global director, Cecile Rosenthal, she said, you know, brown is the new black.
In my opinion, my humble opinion, it's so much more versatile. It lends itself, again, you know, post-COVID, coming out of the like natural neutrals, all of those things. You can get a lot of bang out of your brown buck, if you will. So I love it for interiors.
I agree. And the brown is so much easier to work with. It's softer. It's a little bit more chic. It's a little more sophisticated. I think black is a little harsh sometimes, especially in interiors. And I think brown is a great way to introduce, or let's say even extend, your quiet luxury into, you know, out of beige into brown. But it's a great, like, you know, transition there if you're afraid of color, you know, because if you're in a beige world,
you know, black is black until it's gray, right? I mean, there's yes. not a lot of variation, whereas brown, you have a, you know, kind of a spectrum within, from, you know, beige to, you know, deep nut brown. So it allows a lot of versatility in what you can put into an interior. And I think, you know, homeowners are like, what? Brown's back? I'm like, yes, everybody, it is. But designers are really getting excited about it. And maybe it's not about, you know, a full brown interior, you know, painted wall, but maybe it's about the surfaces that you put in. So maybe it's deep, rich Cordovan sofas and rich tapestry rugs and sort of like elements that you pull into the layering that on our team, we've talked about layered maximalism, like neutral maximalism, where you maybe have a monochromatic palette, but you build in that excitement with layered textures and pattern. And I think that's something that we're going to watch really develop in interiors as well. So beyond brown, you mentioned red. What were some other exciting colors that we should pay attention to?
Well, again, because it was the time of year, the fall winter season, but I saw a lot more cognacs that kind of work off of brown. Of course, yellow in a butter sense, butter yellow, like lots of, from Chloe to even again to Dior, there was a lot of use of this beautiful yellow. We actually every season have a color of the season. And so that's what our books come as, the binder color. I don't know if you knew that.
I do know that. Yes.
So yellow was a very interesting color because for spring, summer 2026, we had actually been, because, you know, we're at this 2-year predictive space. So I'm showing things 2 years ahead of, because I'm working with so many different industries. So we had been in a brown state of mind, you know, because that makes sense. And then when the yellow popped up, I was like, oh, this was so exciting, because I was like, oh my God, yellow. And it just made so much sense because it worked so well off of the previous palettes, let's say. And it just started to be, it got itself inserted into these different areas. And so yellow works beautifully, obviously, with brown. It also works really well with some of the burgundies and some of the different colors. And what's also kind of happening is there are colors that are now stretching outside of that sort of traditional time of year. And that one color would be pink. So pink is no longer a color that just sits in spring, summer. You know, like it's really now an all year round color, which we've also talked about for in our fall, winter 26, 27 edition. We actually start in the book with what's called Colors on the Radar. And so we're addressing different groups of colors in their kind of ranges and families. So we're addressing, I think it's like 9 different ranges of colors between smoky grays, chlorophyll greens, pink, of course, as I mentioned, is now this year-round color. Burgundies, we saw a lot of those on this particular runway as well. Again, that lends itself to working beautifully with brown. And greens, lots of greens too.
Lots of greens. I love it.
Lots of greens.
So the butter. All right. So I'm picking what I want
to
go back to. Back to butter. What's really exciting to me about yellow, because, you know, people have a very love-hate relationship with yellow. But what the one that's emerging is this, like you said, soft buttery yellow. And it looks fantastic in interiors. So whether it's your kitchen cabinets or a piece of furniture or some small touch, it can really add a lot of life to a space. And you don't really have to paint your whole interior yellow. So again, those little touches are going a long way. You start to see them in shelter pubs, like on the front covers. They're featuring yellow in big, impactful ways. So I'm excited about it as well. But I do love the trans-seasonal approach because amber, you know, amber was like a key material and finish that we saw when we were at the furniture show last year. Everywhere. So amber glass, golden, like that sort of golden glow on all sorts of finishes and surfaces, was definitely telling that warm story. So I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. There was a lot of talk of purple this year. Did you see any purples on the in the collections?
I saw, I think, more burgundies than I saw purples, let's say. But yes, purples were part of it. It's in that family as well. So maybe more of the berries.
Yeah. So going from sort of a sweeter sort of saccharine lilac into something new, which is, you know, equally exciting. Yes. Yes. There was I think that's where we're going. There is just a richness. We have explored pastels. We've seen lighter tones, but there's definitely a heritage nostalgia. What did you call them? Landmark colors.
Landmark
I love that expression.
Landmark
Jacqueline,
colors.
I will quote you when I say that.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Good.
I love it.
That's a Nelly Rodi. That's a Nelly Rodi. So in the fall winter book, we separate colors by landmark colors, which I mentioned, surprise colors, which are kind of these like feisty, vibrant, energizing colors, and then altruistic. So those would be more soothing. And that would, so we've identified colors falling into these different categories, which I think is really important.
Oh, I like that. Well, I love your books and consume them. You know, it's my go-to resource. So, you know, anybody that wants to come into my office that works at Sherwin that's listening, I will show you your books. They're pretty amazing. But what would you advise listeners about like getting outside of their comfort zone, whether it's in fashion or interiors when it's related to color? Like, talk about the tension between a trend and really like just exploration, like taking something on that's unexpected.
I just think color is the one place where, whether it's fashion or whether it's your home, is where you can really experiment and really have a good time. And I think that it could be a fear-based area, maybe for some, where they don't see it. But I will say that, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I think that social media has created an ability to see, let's say, this experimentation without having to like take the risk. Somebody else is going to do it for you. And so typically, you know, like that's what I'm seeing now, even if it's like, I'm absolutely fascinated with these people that take old kind of ugly derelict nightstands and chest of drawers and they turn them into these amazing pieces of furniture. And it's oftentimes just, it's either just re-kind of surfacing it, repainting it. So color plays definitely into that. But you're seeing so much more of people taking the risk for you, you know? So I think that color is one way. And here's the good news with color. If you don't like it, you repaint it. You know, it's a small step into like experimentation. And I, you know, I'm a big fan of color. I love using colors. My whole house is all kinds of colors. And
I love that.
Changing them. I have a funny story because I painted my house. It's been a while, but I painted my house and it was kind of this, it was white with black shutters and it had, I think, gray something somewhere. Anyway, I hated it. And so I just picked the colors, ran off to work. And my neighbor called me and said, "Your house looks amazing." I said, "Really? I have no idea what it, you know, I have no idea." I switched to these fabulous, like kind of smoky greens. And I painted an orange door because my house is mid-century modern. So she's like, "Your house looks amazing." And my idea was that I wanted it to disappear into the background because I have hills where I live, mountains. And so I didn't want it to be this thing. So I came home and I said, "Wow, it was a happy accident. Totally worked. I didn't do one patch test, nothing. I just went for it."
You just knew. You just knew. Yes.
I don't know if I knew. But that's how I approach color. And I think that color is one of those things that like, you know, it's also visceral. Like you have to like certain colors. Hopefully you pick colors that you like. I mean, you know, that's kind of a thing too. You know, you don't want to pick a color you hate and paint your house in it. But
agree. And that'll lead kind of into the next question, which is about regionalism. So oftentimes people gravitate towards, they like things that they see all the time, whether they're looking out the window or in sort of their neighborhoods or in their communities. And so given your experience and what you've learned over the years, do you find regionalism in fashion affect where color goes versus, you know, say the UK and Italy versus what's going on in New York?
Well, you know, I used to think it was regional. I really did. But now I feel again, and I don't know if it's the social media aspect, but we're just kind of living in a global world now in terms of design. Again, back to like when I started in the industry and you as well, that we didn't have this ability to, we also live in this very standardized world. So again, back to the social media aspect, when one thing happens, it's like everybody knows about it. So I think regionally, I'm seeing like architecture and I'm seeing colors really kind of becoming more universal. And it would be that like you might think of LA as a certain, let's say, aesthetic, but you'll see that in New York or you'll see that in San Francisco or you might see that in Dallas. And so we're seeing more kind of, I think, more universalism in a sense. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm seeing this kind of almost standardized color palettes.
You could absolutely make the case for that. But you can also see when like there's like heartbeats of color, like a color moment happens and you see that. And then all of a sudden it starts popping up. And yeah. I love that for interiors. I think it's exciting and it's frustrating. You know, designers get frustrated by that because, you know, their clients will ask them for things that are, you know, outside of the norm for a typical designer. But I think it is just because of, you know, color has coming back into the fold after a really long hiatus. So it's good. I think this is all good.
And you know where I'm seeing, let's say, I think where it's happening the most and the best kind of version of how to use color and how to see things in a different way is in hospitality. I think that the hotels are phenomenal. Like the designers, we have a fabulous designer here in LA named Kelly Wurzler, and she does.
She's amazing.
I know.
She's amazing.
She is. And so I love her global kind of artisan approach to what she uses. I love the colors. I like the use of color. I love the use of all the textures. And her, that look, for example, will be, let's say, you know, probably in Italy, or it could be in LA. It could be anywhere. And I think that hospitality is this amazing space where we're seeing just much more use of all these great rich patterns and materials and textures. And I think that's, and cafes, restaurants, same thing.
Would you say that that's your big takeaway? Was this richness sort of
yes.
prevailing? Yes. Like that's what we should take into 26 and 27. I guess talk about that just a bit more based on what you've been seeing, you know, what, tell us what we should be paying attention to.
I think we should be paying attention to, again, we talked about it, but these kind of nostalgic or this kind of relation with the past a little bit, but kind of giving it this fresh life into the future. And I think that that's what we saw on the runway, the fall winter 25 shows just recently. And again, this idea of using browns and any kind of colors that harmonize with that. I think that that's what I saw, you know, in terms of just the runway direction.
Yes, love it. And again, one more thing I'm remembering that I wanted to ask about pink. So this sort of trans-seasonal approach to pink, is this like a soft pink? Is this vibrant pink? What sort of pink are we classifying?
We show it actually in ranges, in a certain range, and it actually touches on a little bit of mauve in one aspect. It touches a little bit on coral in one, and then it's kind of more of a, let's say, traditional pink, let's say, but we're showing this range of pinks, and it's also non-gender in terms of how we're approaching it as well. So it's no longer just for women.
Yes.
And so pink is a really important color. And we show it in such a fabulous range. I almost feel like I need to get it for you.
No. Show it. We're on camera. You got it. Just like pop it up so people can see it because we're recording.
This is the fabulous book. Yeah. And like I mentioned, the colors on the radar, but I'm going to flip to the page on pink.
Well, and while you're finding it, I stand up for coral in every way. I love coral so much. Oh, look how pretty.
Oh, how yummy is that?
Amazing. Amazing. Amazing.
So you can see like it's almost here. I missed one. It's almost like this. So it's a mauve. It's in there.
Yes.
But it's a
yes.
little bit almost on the taupe side. So what a great way to kind of like inject a fabulous color into your quiet luxury space.
Completely. Well, and we had talked about that. That was our color of the year a few seasons ago, was Red and Point, which was this sandy, almost like clay bisque, warm neutral. It was beautiful. But for maybe I was a little too forward in talking about it at the time because I got pushback like, this is too much. I couldn't put this yeah. in my interior. But it was an indication of what was coming. And now look at, you know, these colors, this warmth is really, really prevailing.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You just touched on something that's really important when it comes to design. And I think that this is definitely a fashion versus, it's all designers probably face this struggle. But, you know, you knew that this color would be important and you wanted to put it in there. And in fashion, it's sometimes, you know, the buyers that don't understand or the merchandisers that don't understand and I don't want to be negative about it, but it's like when you're a designer, you have this kind of natural feeling about things. And so it's hard to explain why you think that it should be there. And so like, how's that for you? Like in your, you know, when you know something should be there, you know, how hard is it for you to make that statement?
It can be a challenge. So I try to have a rhythm. So maybe for one season, I'm really talking about a color that I know is going to be a strong color that everybody can get behind. And it just happens to be the right one. Like 2020 was naval. That was navy blue was an extremely popular color. And then we had COVID. And so I was like, how do we talk about anything in 2021? Like, that was terrifying. Yeah. But it was about sanctuary. So I knew to choose like a really deep, deep, dark color because we needed that support. And it was a great color. And then the next year was all about green because it was 2022 and we were post-COVID. So like the rhythm that we were talking about colors has really worked for us. And then I wanted to shake things up in 23. So it was about this sort of sandy beige, which was startling for people. They were enjoying green so much. They're like, why are you telling me about to go do this? Again, you use the data, you use the research, you use your partners like Nelly Rodi, right? Like you are a strong partner for me. It is like when I have an instinct, it's often validated by the work that you do. So I feel good about the recommendations and I'm never going to recommend something that's not going to look good on a wall. Truly, truly at my heart, I'm an interior designer by background. If a color is not going to look good up, I'm not going to talk about it. So I feel like those are like my three checkpoints in making a recommendation. And then you just hope that the way we shoot the photography, the way we put the campaign together, the way that we build all the other elements come together to tell this really compelling story. Because at the end of the day, it's also about the storytelling. We want these colors to resonate and be meaningful to people. They don't paint all the time. If they're going to make the commitment to put a navy blue on the wall, we really want them to feel good about that for a long time. So it's a challenge, but also really rewarding because at the end of the day, we're creating these interiors that make people excited. And it's their homes, you know? It's such a personal space and color is such a personal choice. So challenge, yes. But we love the challenge. And, you know, it's like we're getting ready for 2026-27. So I'm excited. I'm excited to share it. And we'll be ready in a couple months to talk about it again.
Oh, great. I love it.
So how do people find out information? Obviously, I'm a subscriber to Nelly Rodi, but for the average folks that want to learn more, how can they find you or more information?
I would say the best place to see like sort of what we do would A, be on our website. So it's nellyrodi.com. So that'd be www.nellyrodi.com. It's in French and English. So you would just pick the little drop down and find your language.
So great.
And I would suggest signing up for the newsletter.
Yeah,
but then I would also say kind of the newsletter's great. And then that also comes in French and English. And then I think our Instagram feed would be amazing. So at NellyRodi, that is populated, you know, every day. And they have, we do color of the month. So we do this amazing like little reel that goes and they show all these great images. And of course, you know, we have our brand or our agency has its own, you know, DNA as well and look and you've authenticated it by saying that it's a good, you know, resource for you. And, you know, for me, when I used to be the user, when I started in the industry in fashion, this was always my favorite publication because it was always colors that I saw that you could use. It wasn't some ethereal, weird color and it applied to everything. No, I'm just saying.
Right. So it's true. It's really true though.
Yeah. I mean, and we do storytelling. So like part of our seasonal, you know, how we describe the season is always through storytelling. We give you the colors. It's an amazing tool to actually use for so many different industries. And, you know, of course, we do, like I mentioned, fashion, beauty and home. So we have that sort of focus there.
And I super love your beauty as well. Even though I don't talk about beauty as much, I consume those reports like crazy. It's wonderful. So it's a great resource. So we're gonna not take up any more of your time. You've been so generous. We really appreciate this. Thank you for joining me. We'll have to do this again next season. Talk about spring. I don't know. We'll do something.
Let's
great.
Let's do it.
Love it. Thank you, Jacqueline, so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Before we go, we'd like to take a moment to congratulate our May Designer of the Month, Liz Goldberg of Carolyn Leona. You can find her work and contact info online at carolynleona.com and show her some support by following at Carolyn Leona Design on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider subscribing, leaving us a review, and telling others about our show. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the wide world of color and design. See you next time on Color Mixology.